All right, good morning. If you just let me talk while I start putting this together. All right, well, it's very good to be back here with you all. I just returned from a two-week trip to Ghana, as a lot of you here at home know. So it was a really good time to be in Ghana. I just got back on Tuesday, and I don't know how, but I brought a head cold as a souvenir, so you excuse that. How do you go to the tropics and get a head cold? I don't know. Probably in the airplane. But it's really good to be back, and it was a very profitable trip. Wow, a lot of things happened. I was traveling alone without my family, which is really bad because I miss them. But it makes it so that you can, you know, travel faster and do a lot of things. So it was really, really a blessed time. I was able to visit the churches back in the villages where I've lived. My family and I have lived for 12 years. Also able to spend time with the larger group of church leaders from all over Ghana and to work on a discipleship program that in conjunction with a couple of you here in the local church and people in Ghana, and launched that, which was really exciting. So we had a really, really good time. And I think rather than doing a lot of talking, I'm just going to put the pictures up and talk along with the pictures. Again, I'm so excited about how this group of people in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, is connected with a group of people in northern Ghana called the Komas. Isn't that really neat? And how, because of the kingdom of God, we can do that. And I understand that later this morning we'll be hearing about another part of the world. So this is just so neat, because in God's family, that's how it works. You know, we have been given an inheritance. You are shareholders in an international kingdom. And so we can see a little bit more about that today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to hear about what you're doing in other parts of the world. It's your work, Lord. It's not ours. And yet you've invited us in. You've invited us to be kings and priests. You've invited us to be co-workers with you. And we give you all the glory, Lord. And I thank you for this body. And I pray that you'd further strengthen the connection between the Kombas and the church here at Charity this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know. Let me put this up. Do you want to dim the lights? Can you all see? Okay. Let me get my wife's concoction up here in case I start coughing. It's not latte. I wish it was. It's other stuff. So, you know, it's only a couple airplanes away, but you step into a whole new world. And, you know, this is my transportation while I'm in Ghana. After I got back this week, my family spent a couple days in Washington, D.C., just having some family time and looking at the museums there. And I saw this sign that says, "No dirt bikes allowed in the District of Columbia on any roads." And I thought to myself, man, this is, in Ghana, people think this is a really nice vehicle, you know, and you go everywhere with it, even in the capital city. It's not even allowed here. It shows you the disparity between between the two worlds. So I think within very short time, maybe 48 hours of leaving here, I was up in the village of Katani, where we've lived for the past 12 years. It's different now because I'm coming in a way as a visitor. And it's different but good. And so they, on Sunday, they had a joint service, which they have about once a month, where the villages from the 12, well, Charity and I planted 10 churches in the area. It's now expanded to 14 churches. Because they, you know, keep going out and spreading the word. Two new churches just in the 2.5 months that I was gone have been open by local believers. I haven't even been to those villages yet, but met some of the people that came out to this joint service. So a lot of them walked to some bike. There's about 250 people there that day to worship the Lord. There's no way that they can fit inside the building that they've made. And thankfully, it was a cloudy day, so we just went outside. I mean, it was 90 degrees, but it was cloudy. So we just went outside and had a big session. But I like this picture. One of my friends took it, I think, on their phone and gave it to me. But I like this picture because, you know, things are very important in their culture, where you sit and things like that. And I like that Pastor Peter, who's in the kind of navy and black smock, is on the right there. And he led the service, and I was like the visiting preacher. I did have a 20-minute message. That was my part of the three-hour service. The rest was by the brothers there. And you can see that two of them are kind of consulting together about, you know, how we should do this aspect. They kind of do things on the fly a little bit more, you know, make it up as they go along. But it was such a blessing to just be a small part of what God's doing there and to see them taking the lead. So I had I shared a message actually from the book of Hebrews because, you know, we've been enjoying that so much here. And they really love that because they've just come out of a sacrificial system, not the Judaic system, but they've just come out of all the people, every single person in this circle, except for maybe the 4-year-olds, have sacrificed blood sacrifice, you know. So you think about it, if everybody in this room had done that, when you're saying Jesus came, he's the last sacrifice, that's really meaningful. That's not like philosophy. That's like, absolutely. You know, we quit sacrificing because Jesus was sacrificed. So that was a really special time as we were talking about the blood of heifers and bulls can't pay for sin. And in their culture, they usually sacrifice guinea fowls or goats or sheep. A cow to them is like a car to you. I mean, it's worth thousands of dollars in their economy. And they keep cows for inheritance to pass on to their children. So when the Bible says even the blood of a bull would not atone for sin. You know, I mean, even if you sell your car for $30,000, that's nothing to the Lord. That will not work. And they were just so excited thinking about the blood of Jesus. I also like this picture because there on the foreground and the table is a bunch of local language Bibles. You can see one really worn one there on the left. And also a couple of phones. And that's not to take phone calls. That's because they have audio Bibles on their phones. And some of our church leaders are not literate. So they carry that phone everywhere they go, you know, and tap on the chapters and listen to it. Sometimes that's even how they do it at church. You know, church leader's not literate. So, okay, Hebrews 7, beep. Now we all listen. And then he preaches. So that's really exciting to me. I like that. This is just symbolic. Now, I think I took this picture after I sat down. Again, just symbolic of the fact that I'm not the key guy there. They are the key guys. This is the Lord Jesus Church in the custody of the Coma people, not our custody. And just so exciting to see them and the leadership they inspire among their own people. Really makes me happy. This is symbolic of the hours and hours and hours and hours that I spent in meetings. This is a little mud office that I have out there in the village where I met people for years. And this is Pastor Peter on the left-hand side. And I can't emphasize this brother enough. Pastor Peter Teague came to the Lord Jesus about 9 years ago, almost died of tuberculosis. He was unconscious for 2 weeks, and then he was in, what do you call that, where no one's allowed to be near you? Quarantine for 6 months. While he was treated for tuberculosis away from his family. He pulled through that, shortly afterwards surrendered to the Lord Jesus, and has been a firm believer ever since, was made the pastor just a few months ago, a few months before we left earlier this year. He's such a humble man. He has 5 children, is that right, Charity, I think? And such a humble man. Do pray for him, because I got a phone call yesterday that his son was bitten by a very poisonous snake. And Peter had to pay a couple hundred U.S. dollars to take this boy to the nearest hospital and get anti-venom for him. And he seems to be responding, but they called me from the bush on my phone yesterday to tell me that. So pray for him. But Peter is such a man of God, and we had such a great time meeting together. And the theme verse that came out of our meeting was in John 16. We were talking a lot about the Holy Spirit while I was there, because we've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit with the Coma believers. And Peter brought up this verse in John 16. I'm going to read it to you in Coma. In John 16:7, it says, the meaning is, I'm going to tell you the truth. If I move away, it will support you, or it will help you. And, of course, that's Jesus' words to the disciples, who said, you know, it's going to be better for you if I go and you get the Holy Spirit. He said, you know what? We miss you so much, but we are, the Lord is working for us in a special way now that you're gone. And he recounted to me several situations, challenges, crises that they've met in the church. And the phone service wasn't very good to call me. On one situation, the church leaders got together and prayed and fasted about an issue. And I was just, he told me the issue, and I knew what should be done, you know. So he told me, he said, this was the crisis. And they're so good, he didn't even mention the people in the church names, because, you know, they believe that love should cover, you know. So he just said, we had someone in the church, this happened. Okay, I thought to myself, man, I hope they did this, but, you know, Lord. So I said, so what'd you do? He said, well, we prayed, we fasted, we got together, we all counseled together, and we decided on this, you know. And it was just what I feel like the Lord would have them do. I was so happy that they hadn't called me, and so happy that the Lord had led them together. So we had a lot of good times talking and sharing together. Just really, really sweet times. They're reading the Word, and that is key. Pastor Peter has never been to school a day in his life. Doesn't even know what a classroom looks like. But he now reads three languages, Lekwakwan, Lekwuan, and English. It is unbelievable. I still remember the first day he came to me and said, I want to learn to read. I drew a letter on a paper, and he held the pencil like this, you know, trying to make the letter. And he just slammed it down and said, I can't do this. I'm a farmer. I'm a man. I'm a father in my tribe. I can't do this. And, you know, he painstakingly worked and now is able to read three languages. It's just fantastic. But these Bibles were just printed in November, okay? You can see mine still looks pretty good. That's the inside of his. You know, brand spanking new Bible, but already worn out. And these guys are just in the Word. They listen to the Word all the time on their phones. And that's it. I mean, that is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are the most important, right? Missionary is definitely behind those things. Another thing that was exciting is that our mission is opening up a Bible school. I don't know if any of you have heard about that. By a Bible school, I mean like a pastoral training center where men will be able to come into the city of Tomale for 3 months every dry season when there's not as much to do in the village and study the Word of God in a more intense way. Those who cannot read or write will be given literacy classes if they want. And they pay a very small fee, almost nothing. It is heavily subsidized, but what they pay is their transport in and out and the fact that they're away from home. So we're opening it up for applications, and this is Pastor Peter showing me. He's been trying to get people from our area to go, and he's got 8 applicants. Actually, I think 2 more came in while I was there. The quota for the Catani area was 10. That was the maximum number that they're allowed to have. Brother Ross is going to be the principal at the school. Some Ghanaian pastors are going to be there helping. And so they've filled off our quota. So these are like the application forms that were processed, and Peter was showing it to me. Each one of them had to meet with Pastor Peter. He would interview them, check their life out, and sign it, stating that, you know, he believes these men are of good moral character and that this would be a blessing. Some of them are existing church leaders. Others are maybe youth leaders or other people that have potential in the kingdom of God. So that'll be starting January, February, and March of each year. Something else that went on when I was out in the village, and let me just mention and make sure to you about the Bible school. We're not talking about seminary. We're not talking about college. More like what you do in your living room, you know, with your family, in the sense that this is teaching people through the Word of God in an intense way. They won't get any kind of degree. I mean, most of them aren't even educated at all, but it's just to help and equip them to lead their people. One other thing we did on the hills, this is Topaga, who's a young lady that has been with our family since she was a young girl, like about 10 or 12 or something. I don't know when she came to our house first. This is one of the situations where her parents almost forced her on us because Hudson was born. I guess it was right when Hudson was born, and they came to us and they said, look, your wife can't handle everything. And we said, yeah, we'll probably get a girl from America to help. They said, that's way too far. The Lori Fair is too expensive. You know, so we'll give you one of our daughters, you know. And everybody needs an ubiyor. Ubiyor means literally child lifter, you know. Everybody needs an ubiyor. So this is your ubiyor, you know. So we weren't sure at first, but man, she's been a blessing over the years. She's a lot like family, a lot like a sister to my sons. She's also chosen to follow the Lord. She was from an idol-worshipping family, and her father's still an idol-worshipper. But she chose to follow the Lord. She's been baptized. So after her years of service with us, Charity wanted to bless her in some way. We didn't pay her. She was just kind of part of the family. So Charity gave her a little graduation ceremony in absentia. You know, Charity wasn't there. So I carried over a little certificate and a gift. She really has shown a lot of potential in cooking, and she wants to pursue a future in like opening a chop bar. Those of you who've been in Ghana, it's kind of like a little side of the road restaurant. That's really what she wants to do. But in Ghana, you need to have a certificate for everything. So Charity gave her a little certificate and a gift of some kitchen items. Her parents came, the chief came. They were all really blessed. So that was a special time. This was a fun day. The Bible says that we get to enter into the fruit of other people's labors. And this is not something our mission does very much. But we have one village where we actually, where it's a second generation church plant. That means those that we led to Christ went out and opened another church. And this village was in dire need of water. Their women would wake up at 5 in the morning and go get water and not come back till 9 a.m. And then they would want to start church, and the women would say, well, we got to go for the second bucket, you know. So then they'd be back at 1, dead tired. And it was a big problem, I mean, especially in the dry season. Now, in the rainy season, as you can see, it would flood and they'd have water. I mean, if you're okay with that swamp stuff, you know. But they didn't have a good source of water. So we had a visitor that came over, a brother from North Carolina, and he said he'd like to take this on as a personal project. He raised some funds. Some of you here, I think, may have given, and we still have, I think, about $800 to pay on this well. So if anybody still wants to get involved in it. The community also paid like 30% of the well. And a truck came in a couple months ago and dug this well. And this was headed up by David Nisley, good brother over there in Ghana. From California, who's working in Ghana. So when I went over there, the well had been done, but the village wanted a dedication ceremony. Even the chief, who's an idol worshiper, said, look, the people of God gave this to us. Come and do what you're going to do. You know, we're not going to slaughter. They would usually do a blood sacrifice. He said, we're not going to do a blood sacrifice because God did it. So come do something. You know? Because to them, you can't just start using the well. It's like that would be profane. You know, you got to do something. So come do what you're going to do. So we came, and the church leaders came. The whole village came out. The whole village. You're going to see a couple of video clips. It's pretty sweet for this well. It's about three-quarter of a mile or a mile away from the village. But they couldn't be happier. So the whole community was there. I don't know if they're all in this picture. There's over 200 people in the community of Malangbali, where this well is. Nobody was happier than the women because, you know, they are the water fetchers. You see there the 7 or 8 gallon galawas that they carry on their heads. And even though they have to carry it 3/4 of a mile to a mile, that's a lot better than the 5 or 6 they were doing, and it's clean water, and they're so happy. You want to see how happy they are? They're cheering for the well. Ben and all the other donors. So if you were a part of that project, you can enter into a little bit of the joy. Or if you still want to, come see me. Here's the women. You know, so they all wanted to line up for their picture with the well. I mean, they were pumped, you know. And so here's the women.
We thank God for saving us. He has saved us.
Isn't that great? The song they were singing is, we praise God who has saved us or delivered us, which, you know, kind of had a double meaning. I mean, they sing that song in the church, but I think in this case they were thinking saved us from our water crisis. Because half of the women in that picture aren't believers, you know. But like the chief said, we gave the chief opportunity to speak after when we prayed for the well, which you're going to see, man. We gave the chief opportunity. And the chief gets up. You know, I mean, he sacrifices, and in the past, he's given the church a little bit of a hard time. But he gets up, and he's like, well, all I want to say is we have to thank the Creator who did this. And all I want to say is you church people can do whatever you want in my community. So I don't think, I think he'll be a supporter. Even the cows were so happy that people said, look, this proves that the water is like straight from God, because the cows have all the water in the swamp and they still want to come drink this water, you know. So that was a really fun time. And here's praying for the well. You know, they, different church leaders, Pastor Peter on the right, the Malangbali church leader, Malik in the green shirt, Deacon Jacob Batorba in the blue shirt, Deacon Elijah Manji in the background, Evangelist Samson Majim. Different, you know, the local church leaders that go to this village a lot, spend the night in this village and preach to the people. And they all were involved in just praying for the well as we dedicated it to the Lord. Okay, I still have a few minutes here. We then went down to Tomale. And I was borrowing one of the mission's pickup trucks to go to Katani. And 16, it's a little like a Ford Ranger size, it's a Toyota, but 16 church leaders jumped on to come with me to Tomale. That was a full ride. And we had 2.5 days there of intense studies from the Word of God, prayer meetings, and a really good time together. This is the house that the Scent schools use over in Ghana, and it kind of gets multi-purpose. It's also the house that we're going to use for Bible school, you know, in the dry season for the men to come together. So we had, I believe it was 42 church leaders from all different areas. There was 5 or 6 tribes there. So we had to find the most common denominator languages. Even when a Ghanaian spoke, I mean, over here we think they're all Ghanaians, right? But even when a Ghanaian spoke, it had to be translated because there were different tribes in the room. But we worshiped the Lord together in the various languages and prayed for hours and studied the Sermon on the Mount together and really, really had a blessed time. Thank the Lord, it was only in the 90s that week. We had a respite from the heat. It wasn't in the hundreds or 110s, but it was still plenty warm in that room. Warm in both senses of the word. This is Pastor Norbert Naninja in the orange. He is the chairman of the Charity Bible Churches. There's about 37 Charity Bible Churches now in Ghana, and they have elected him to serve for a couple years as the chairman, along with delegates from the different areas. He's a humble man of God. He's got a big family, I think 9 children, and some of them are grown, but just a really dear brother. And he's a Konkomba, but he's from about 7 hours' ride south of where we live, in an area where Sam and Kate Kennison used to live. So you can see here, they're translating for each other as they go. And he also did teaching, and he moderated the meetings. Ross and I were kind of guest speakers at their conference. Tipaga, who was trained under Charity, was the cook. So with staff and a few other hangers-on, we were about 50 people that needed to eat 3 meals a day. And, of course, local food. That's the kitchen, ladies, for never mind the good old setup downstairs. You know, this will work too, right? And they did a great job feeding 50 hungry farmers for 3 days. Okay, let's talk a little bit. At that meeting, we launched this discipleship booklet. I want to give a big shout out here to a couple of people in the church who worked on this. Luke Taves on the design and Ann Keyes on the fabulous artwork. So what we're doing is, remember that we have a lot of non-literate people in the village, and we want to disciple them into Christ. You don't just want to bring people to God and leave them hanging. We want a systematic way to take them through learning to obey the words of Jesus. And so we developed first a series called 8 Steps of Obedience, and now this is a second set called 8 Steps of Growth. Well, it needs to be pictorial for non-literate people, and it's Bible story oriented, so each step, like step one is feed on God's Word, and then there's 2 stories from the Word of God that teach you to feed on the Word of God. And there's audio clips that go along with these stories that we tell the story in English and in the local language. So they can put it on their phone, learn it, memorize it, and you know, ingest the Word of God and learn to walk with Jesus. So we were dedicating this book. So I'm just going to quickly go through the 8 steps to grow pictorially. All right, pretend you're non-literate. You know, and this is how you learn. This is feed on the Word. Now, you notice there's a Bible and a tape player. Why is that? Because, you know, a lot of them are non-literate. And so some of them are going to feed on the Word by reading. some by listening, like Madame and the child here, and some by listening to it digitally. And so the idea in this picture encapsulates all. You need to get the Word of God in you, whether you read it, whether somebody reads it to you, or you listen to it. Get the Word of God. So feed on God's Word. This is, what do you think this one is? Good job, honoring your leaders. All right, and we talk about honoring church leaders and civil leaders and community leaders. This one, anybody want to guess?
Praise God.
Praise God, that's good. This one is be ready for Jesus' return. This is believe God in sickness. Sickness is a big part of their lives, and so we made that as part of the core discipleship series, using Bible stories like Job to talk about how sometimes we're healed and sometimes we need to endure. This is control your tongue. And we talk about lying, gossip, and other sins of the tongue. This is suffer gladly. And this picture illustrates a lot then because they experience a lot of raids in their tribal feudal system. You know, you may come home from farm one day and your house roof is burning because an enemy is taking it out on you. So what does the Bible say? Not only should we be non-resistant, not attack, but we should even rejoice and we should take loss with joy. And so this man is praising the Lord while undergoing loss. This is be led by the Holy Spirit. And it's hard to think sometimes how to picture these things, but you know, you want to give it to them in a non-literate format. So a fork in the trail, being led by the Spirit. And the last one in this series is don't love the world. Now, you can probably understand, you know, watching murder on TV as being bad because modernization is creeping in subtly. But the other thing we wouldn't say is the world, but that forked stick with a calabash in it to them represents spirit worship and idol worship, which is a huge part of the world. The world is more than them all. The world is whatever Satan uses in your area to get your heart, right? So anyways, those are the eight steps. Along with the eight steps, let me just click this down for a second. So along with the eight steps, a key part of the eight steps beside the booklet that we give them is the audio clips. There's English for those who speak English, and then we record it in the local languages. So a young Komba man and I spent 16 hours the day before I flew translating these stories. That's probably why I'm sick. But we had a really good time. It was so beautiful digging into these stories for 16 hours in the Word of God. There were 16 stories, so it averaged about an hour per story to get the story translated into the local language. I'll just play a little clip for you, even though it would be hard to understand. So that's the story of Job, but told in a colorful way, not just read from the scripture. Like, you know, he was using some good words here. He said, Job, and he was a very rich man. In fact, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters and animals, thousands of them, you know. And so they tell these Bible stories in such a way that it will cement the truths into people's minds. So even non-literate people have a little phone that they can put that on and go around and listen to it. Isn't that a blessing? So we had these booklets that we presented there to these 42 men. And purposely we didn't go and give it to the church members because we're trying to mentor from behind the scenes. So we gave these stacks of books. You see them there on the table in front of Pastor Norbert. He's the chairman of Charity Bible Churches. We gave him the booklets. And we said, these are for your people. And just promptly he launched right into a prayer. I mean, he just grabbed the books and started praying. And I took the picture. I know that's a little, it's not best to take a picture of people praying, but I thought it would bless you all. You know, and he starts thanking the Lord for these books. And you also notice on the table, again, a couple phones laying there. Phones are such an important part of what God's doing in Ghana. Isn't that interesting? Because immediately after this session, what we did is we told them, okay, you know, come and get your audio clip. So they'd come and we'd Bluetooth, you know, you can transfer files through Bluetooth. Again, I don't know how, but these non-literate guys know how to Bluetooth files back and forth. So they said, in their language, they said, a holy disease has come. Come and get contaminated. So everybody brought their phones up and they just started, you know, sharing the files. And they're like, this is Holy Spirit Ebola. They said, you want to get infected. So they shared all these files to their phones and then go home. It's not copyrighted material. You know, then they share it to their members. So rapidly and free, may I add, without cost to the mission or the church, you know, you have a teaching material in the hands of your people for non-literate people. I really love oral stuff, but I hope you can see the joy in that. I just think it's a wonderful way to spread the Word of God. And so they're going to go home now and teach their people how to grow with the Lord together with these books. Thank you, Anne Carnegie, for your great artwork there, those pictures that you saw. So that was a really, really special time, being with those brothers. I think we were up till 11 p.m. most nights praying and stuff, and then waking up at, especially the last 2 days, waking up at 4 a.m. to take them to their bus station so they could go home. So we were all tired, but very happy and full of the Lord. A really special time together. The last day of the meetings, everybody goes home except for like the top 8 church leaders that they have chosen, all sit together and meet with the missionaries to discuss pertinent issues in the church and what God is doing and business and other things that need to be discussed. So we had a great time, and then that was just last weekend, I guess, and then I came home. The best part of a 2-week trip is this. Yeah. 2 weeks is a long time to be away from your family. And being absent from each other has been a big part of our life. It's still not something we like. It doesn't get any easier. But it has been a part of our missionary journey. So it was great to come home and show the boys pictures. The boys still have a dog in Ghana, which had puppies. And they have a lot of connection, right, guys, with your life in Ghana. So isn't it exciting what God is doing? And, yeah, clap for the Lord. Clap for the Lord. That's something they do a lot in the Church of Ghana. You know, they just the preacher walks in and say, "Clap for Jesus," and everybody worships the Lord. So the Lord is worthy. I mean, He's doing so much, and the faithful brothers and sisters in Kombaland are going on. There's problems. I mean, there's they sat down and told me some of the problems they're facing. I didn't even have answers for some of it. We prayed through, but they're going on and they're trusting the Lord. And the main thing that I'm so excited is, like John 16 says, the Holy Spirit will teach them and lead them. And that's who, my confidence is in the Lord. My confidence is in the Holy Spirit. So thank the Lord for what He's doing. That's a little report from my trip. God bless you.
All right, thank you, Wes. Anyone have any questions for Wes before we dismiss him here?
Yes. Thank you. She asked if the Bible's the one we were dedicating in November. Yes, this is the New Testament. So we had the entire Bible in Likpakpong, which is another dialect that the Konkomba speak. This is their own dialect. So this is Nkomba. And this was dedicated in November, so it's just fresh in the system. And you probably saw on the tables there, both Bibles laying there. They're kind of in transition from one to the other. Plus, we don't have the Old Testament yet in this language. So this is really exciting. Anybody else have a question?
Thank you, Wes, for sharing this morning. It's a great privilege to enter into the harvest there. Some have sown seeds for many years. I don't know who it was. I don't know who was there before us. But we have come into the time of harvest there. That's an amazing thing, an amazing opportunity for us. And so we humbly thank God for that. And are grateful that He has allowed us to be a part of it there. I don't know how many years Wes has been going to Ghana. I know it's more than 12. You've probably been going there for 15 or maybe almost 20 years, Wes?
Yeah, 17 years.
17 years that you went there first. On your first trip there, I don't know what you did, but somehow God got a hold of your heart. And I know that there's numerous ones here that have made trips there that God got a hold of your heart there. And things have never been the same. Someone came back and blamed our missionary for ruining them for life. I'll never be the same. Saying, I just won't be able to fit in at home anymore. I won't be able to be just a nominal Christian, which we rejoice in that. And I'm told that there's 8 of the youth from this church planning to go on the Stand One team in November. Is that right? That's what I was told. So we're excited for the opportunities that you have. The possibility of what God would do in your hearts when you go the first time like that. It's amazing.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.